So, the dream interpretation is a whole science itself. In 2006, what is the lesson Allah giving us? When you see a dream, it's one of two types. If it was bad, turn to the left, blow three times, say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, recite Ayatul Kursi, Na'udhu Tain, drink a glass of water, you know. But if you still think that you can't, you're shaken up, you can't make wudu, pray two raka'a sunnah, then go to bed. Inshallah, salam. If it was good dream, don't go directly to the parents. I mean, of course, if it's kids, yeah, the kids can come to the parents and say, I saw such and such. And the parents' responsibility is to take that to a sheikh or alim. Okay? Because Allah is telling us a lesson. Yusuf Islam is a young boy. He saw a dream. Who did he first go to? Allah directly? Or some sheikh? Abu, father. So your first point of contact, your father and mother. Go to them. And then the father and mother responsibility is to take that child with the dream or go on their own and ask, seek ilm from ulama. And then whatever they say, if the alim says okay to say it, fine. If it's not okay, don't say it. If it's fine or not. Why? I can tell you from experience. About 7 years ago, I saw a very, 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 very ajeeb dream. And I went to not just one sheikh or alim, at least four or five in Pakistan. It's like going to a doctor, then the next one refers to the next physician, then the next specialist, surgeon. Each one saying, oh Allah, this is ajeeb. Then I go to this one, he's bigger than me. Go there. He said, this is way big. Go to the next one. I said, what is this? Is this like some kind of dream? Or is this like some ajeeb thing? They said, well, this is a very, very absurd. And then finally, when I went to the top one said, don't even tell it to anybody. Not even my parents. Why? They said something is going to happen. When it happens, then the time is right, because of course when it's going to happen, the parents are going to see it, everybody's going to see it. But before that, he said, just keep it. From this, from that day till the 7 years, it's very heavy now. It's very hard to keep it. I want to tell it, but I can't, because the sheikh said, no, iyyaka wa iyyaka, and that's why he gave me, the sheikh gave me the quote from here. Look. No, the condition, he said, if you break the promise and you tell it, then whatever Allah promised in the dream is not going to come to you. So I don't want to lose that. There's something very good. Inshallah, the thing is, if I get it, what is in there, it's going to help the Ummah al-Islam. That's the way that the Sheikh said. That it's going to be not, it's not just a single benefit, it's multiple benefit. Benefit for the Ummah of Muhammad, as it said. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Is it mandatory to go to a alim to seek the...
For these big kind of dreams, yes.
We should not just keep it ourselves.
Oh, yeah, from that perspective, yeah. If you see a dream, the brothers ask a question, very good question. If you see a dream, it's do you really have to go or just keep it to yourself? No, it's usually better. It's better for you yourself to seek an alim. Of course, you are confiding in them, you know, you are trusting them, and you tell them that they will not, I mean, if you hope that you go to some person who you trust very well, credibility, that they will not tell your parents or tell other people. Okay, so you have to choose. You have to know which person to choose. You can't just go. That's why I said you can't just go to any imam in a masjid and say, "Oh, I saw the thing last night." You gotta know. You gotta first ask them. That's why I always tell people when they come up to me at the dream, I say, "No, it's better if I recommend you to someone because I'm not specialized in that." Even though we learned one whole course in the Islamic University for the sake of dreams itself. So next thing, now the reason he says. The father says to him that, look, don't tell it. Why? Inna shaytana li insani aduun mubeen. First thing the father said to Yusuf al-Islam, Yaqub al-Islam said, don't tell it to your brothers because they will plan and plot against you. And remember, he's adding one more thing. He said, inna shaytana li insani aduun mubeen. Meaning what? Shaytan will be out there to get you. Meaning if Allah blessed you with something in a good dream, shaytan doesn't want that for you to happen. Right? Common sense. Shaitan hates Bani Adam. Shaitan is going to Jahannam, not a Jahannam. He wants to drag as many people. So when Shaitan sees that Allah has blessed someone with a good dream, he gets behind them, active. That is why we have more trouble, because now if Allah chose you, remember, dreams don't just come by chance. Allah chooses people. How do we know that? I'm not saying this. Rasulullah is not saying this. Allah himself is saying it. Look, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ. أول شيء, الاجتباء, مجتبى. One of the names of Rasulullah is مجتبى, the chosen one. اجتباه ربه. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ يَشْتَدِيكَ رَبُّكَ. This is how, oh Yusuf, oh my son Yusuf, this is how Allah has chosen you. And when He chose you, He's giving you a dream. This goes in turn what I said before in the last series about dua, that we should be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our children, our parents, and ourselves. And one of the major dua that we should be making for ourselves, for our family, that oh Allah, choose me. اجتبيني لخدمة دينك. What a beautiful dua. Because Allah doesn't choose anyone out of there. You have to have something to choose. So if you are asking Allah, choose me, guess what? Your dunya is fixed and your akhirah is fixed. Allah will bless you not only in dunya, but akhirah. How we know that? We know that from all those people came who before us. From the time of Rasulullah till this time in 1427, 1400 years, you look at the history of Islam, so many people came and they contributed to the deen. Why? Allah chose them. So if you have the jazbah, the raghbah, if you have the desire, the enthusiasm, that, oh Allah, I want to do something for your deen. Oh Allah, I want to do for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you have that selfless attitude, not selfish, that selfless attitude, oh Allah, choose me, use me. Because see, if we don't make this dua, we're going to come in this dunya, we're going to live our life, we're going to die. We're going to die this way or that way. How good it would be that we die by contributing something to Islam. Look at Imam Bukhari. How beautiful it would be for Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jud. All these people who give so much for Islam. Not just from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, but even as close as Sayyid Qutb, Hassan Banna, and Mawlana Mawdudi, and Mawlana Ilyas. All these people who came in the history of Islam and they left behind their mark by using themselves for khidmat al-Islam. Of course, Allah doesn't need us. Allah's work goes on. That's what Allah is saying. Whether you work or not, my work is going to go. So wouldn't it be how good it would be that, oh Allah, in your work that is going, in this river that is flowing, use me so that my life has some qeemah, ahamiyah, value. Meaning the dua we make is why, that oh Allah, my life is going to go. A redundant, dull, boring life has no meaning. But if my life is used for the khidmah, servitude of Allah's deen, and the nusrah of Allah's deen, then that means my life has now some value to it. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will put a taj, a crown. These are my people who gave their life. Giving life does not mean just go spill your blood on the battlefield. Giving your life meaning working for the khidmah of Iman. One of the ways giving your life, building a masjid. Trying to build a community like many of you are doing here. This is khidmat in Islam. Allah, for every second, every arq, sweat, is giving ajr for that work. So our attitude should be that, oh Allah, choose me for sake of your deen. And if Allah answers this dua, He chooses you, then one of the ways He teaches you is dream. He gives you dream. I've chosen you for my deen. You have to work for my deen. So you get good ahlam, good dreams. Not only that, your life, your personal life, domestic life, your earth affairs, everything is easily taken care of. Why? Because this is what I say. If Allah chooses us, we are like in the auto mode, cruise control. Who is managing our life? Allah. Because I am dedicating, devoting all my hours, daily basis hours, life for Allah's deen. Why wouldn't Allah bless me in my wife, in my husband, in my kids, in my mal, in my education, in my business? It's like the best tijara we can do. All we have to say, Allah choose me. Istabiri li khidmat deen ya Allah. Ameen. And then Allah chooses you. And then Allah, aapki zindagi samar jati. That's the kind of thing. Like your whole life is easily solidified, taken care of. Everything. Because Allah has chosen you and now put you in auto mode. So here He says to His son, وَكَذَلِكَ إِشْتَدِيكَ رَبُّكَ يُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَعِيلِ حَدِيثِ. Oh my son Yusuf, Allah has chosen you. This is how Allah chooses people. He has shown you a big dream. This dream has a lot of meanings to it. There's a lot of things. And remember, in due course of the surah, we see that dreams are not cheap. They're not inexpensive. They're expensive. If the dream has to be fulfilled, we have to give a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work. Look how much sacrifice Yusuf has made. From the time he was a young boy, till the time he went all the way to the throne. This is the way you compare. It's like the lowest of the low and the highest of the high. Lowest of the low he reached when his brothers literally put him in the well. That's the lowest point of his life. You are on the bottom of the well. You don't know if you're going to even survive, live, or you're going to die there. That's the lowest point of your of any person's life that you can think of. And the highest point, you're sitting on the arsh, your parents are making sujood, your brothers are making sujood, you have sultan, authority, the whole kingdom is with you, Misr, everybody is at your service. You. So Allah is saying, if you remain, if I choose you, and if you remain thabit, mustaqeem, yes, you will have low points in your life, you will have high points in life. But remember, the end is always on what? High. Allah will not end the life of a worker of deen of Allah on low note. Lows do come, but the end is always on high. And how beautiful it would be today in 2006 or 2010, Allah takes our life, our ruh, and the ruh is coming out at the highest point of our life in this dunya. It's like Jannah guaranteed. Bil khatam. See, that's what Allah is saying. وكذلك يشتديك ربك ويعلمك من تعين حديث. Allah will choose you, O my son, and He will teach you. وعلمك. Allah will directly teach us. That's what He's saying. Allah will directly teach Yusuf al-Islam. من تعين الحديث, from the interpretation of dream. Every Nabi was given a mu'jiza. Yusuf al-Islam was given a mu'jiza, interpretation of dream. Any kind of dream you bring it, he can solve. Tell him. And his interpretation is so precise and concise and succinct. Exact. He says this, this happened. So this why? Because the ulama have said in the tafsir that every Nabi came at a time that the challenge, tahaddi, at that time was related to that. So when Rasulullah came, the challenge was al-kalam, wal-balagh, wal-fasa'ah. When Musa al-Islam came, there was sahar. So the tahaddi was sahar. When Nuh al-Islam came, the tahaddi was different. Ibrahim al-Islam came different. So each prophet was given a mu'jiza, biqadr al-mastata'ah, for the people to be attracted. In the time of Yusuf al-Islam, people were so much into dreams. Asking each other, what's going on? What happened? You saw something last night? No, I didn't see. Oh, I saw this. So, well, we have a prophet in town. He knows everything. Check it out. Yes, what's that mean? So then he's telling him. Now, the biggest thing is, when Allah chooses you, He has to give you ni'mah. Mustahil, impossible for Allah to choose someone for His deen and work for His deen and not bless her with ni'mah. Look what Allah says. Every word, that's why Allah said at the beginning of the surah, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Every word has a meaning. Meaning as big as an encyclopedia. That's how, each word. Look at the thing. He says, Allah says, He chose you, اِشْتَبِيكَ. And with اِشْتَبَى comes the وَيُتِمُّ إِتْمَان. يُتِمُّ إِيش؟ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. In a manner, what does that mean? As the scholar said, when you present yourself to Allah, Allah chooses me. And if Allah chooses you, not only are you blessed, your father's blessed, your mother's blessed, your grandfather's blessed, Ala Yaqub. So like suppose if you have someone, Ahmed for example, Ala Ahmed kulluhu tahta ni'matullah. You see how one niyyah, one gesture helps your whole family. So if Allah chooses you, not only are you blessed and your children, not only down the generation, even the previous one are blessed because of this. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is going to deal with them easily because one of their family members was chosen by Allah. This is why I keep telling kids in school, in high school, our attitude should be, Allah choose me, Allah choose me. But they say to other people, choose me, not to Allah. So sometimes we have like a discussion with the kids and I say, you know, you ask everybody else to choose you, you don't ask Allah to choose. Because if Allah chooses you, not only is He going to bless you, but your family and your previous generation, all the way to Al-Jad wal-Jad. So that's what Allah is saying, وَتِمَّ نَعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلَ يَعْقُوبَ كَمَا تَمَّهَ عَلَىٰ بَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. Meaning the whole family is blessed. Ishaq is blessed. Ibrahim al-Islam blessed. You know, Abu al-Anbiya, wal-Jad al-Anbiya over here. He's saying, your great-great-grandfather Ibrahim al-Islam is blessed, Ishaq al-Islam is blessed, I, Yaqub al-Islam is blessed, and you, Yusuf, you're blessed. And the itmam al-ni'mah comes when ijtiba. So we are really bartering with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a big ni'mah. If we get chosen, Allah khalas inam alayna. Allah enriches us, gives us His blessing and bounty. And then, like we said before, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Certainly, indeed, in the in the Qissa of Yusuf as well and his brothers, there is a sign or signs, ayat, for signs and symbols for the people who question. And then Allah says, قَالُوا لِيُوسُفْ وَأَخُوهُ أَحِبُّ إِلَيْنَا, and the whole story goes on. We'll just finish very quickly with this and continue next Thursday from here onwards. What happened? He didn't tell his dream to people, but Allah SWT in the beginning of the surah is telling us about parenting. Number one lesson as father and mother we have, parenting, is al-musawa, equality, balance, never imbalance. Now again, when I say this, حاشا لله, أعوذ بالله, we should ever even think that Yaqub al-Islam was imbalanced or something. Al-Anbiya kulluhum ma'asumeen. All the prophets of Allah are innocent. No sin, no dhan, nothing. But from their qasas, Allah is teaching me and you a lesson. Of course, they are also bashar, human beings. They have emotions, they have sentiment. So Allah is showing us here in the surah that yes, in the time of Yaqub al-Islam, Yaqub al-Islam was very much inclined bil-hubb al-shadeed wal-zawq kull shay towards Yusuf. And the other was like so deliberate. The other were from a different wife and this one from a different wife. So he was more inclined to Yusuf and the brother of Yusuf, the blood brother, meaning Binyamin, Benjamin. So Benjamin and Joseph on one side, while Ikhwa 11 on the other side. That's why these two became prophets. Binyamin the prophet, Yusuf as them prophet. And the Jews in their lineage, they'll show you that we have prophet Joseph and Jacob and Benjamin. And that's why they name their kids a lot Benjamin. And my 11, they were from a different wife and so they have hasad. The biggest lesson Allah is teaching here is sibling rivalry and parents' role, parenting. So sibling rivalry will cover next Thursday, today we'll cover parenting. Allah is giving me and you, through this story, the biggest lesson. Till the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, to every father and mother, إِيَّاكَ وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِيَّاكَ, beware, beware, beware. From what? From loving one son or daughter more than the other. Even if you say that, oh, no, it's okay, it's fine, it's just, I'm just joking, I'm just like that, no. This is how children are. At a very young age, they pick this up, and for the rest of their life, they keep it in their heart. Even if they don't say it on their tongue, you ask them, you say that I'm mistreating you, or I'm not, they'll never say that. But they have this. And they grow up with this mental psyche, and then when they're adults, in their 18, 20, or 25, you'll see how they reciprocate it to you. This is real life examples. In our own families, I've seen my grandfather, Jaddi, he had 12 children. 7 boys, 5 girls. Till this day, my grandmother is still alive, alhamdulillah, Allah bless her. My grandfather passed away in 1990, 16 years ago. But till this day, I see the effects of his, because my father was the biggest, eldest son. The difference between him and him was only 20 years. He got married at a young age, 20. And my father was born, 21. So between grandfather and father, he was very close. So he always loved this, and all my uncles and aunts, I'm not saying this to give shakar about them, but my uncle asked, يَحْسِدْ مِنْ أَبِي. And I was, as a young son, I used to think, why do these people hate my father? When I used to look at my grandfather, oh, that's why. Always, like the biggest son, always around, always everything. Of course, it's natural, human, tabiyah, emotion. The other son and daughter, why is this guy, you know, always with him? So naturally, we get the wrath of our uncle and aunt. You know, al-hasad and everything, they don't like us, when we go to some party, we are like unwelcome people, because we are so-called from the chosen sons. So till this, now we're in our 30s, now this third generation is coming, and still we have that thing, something that my grandfather sold, we are seeing it today. And subhanAllah, when you read Surah Yusuf, you see. Now I'm not saying that my grandfather made a mistake or something, but we see that if we don't implement the ta'aleem of Surah Yusuf, we see in our own eyes how it happens. And it's very difficult. My father, my mother, me, as much as we want to bring back those people together, no. From day one, they got something in the heart, it's very hard. Istikhara, you show it in the heart, very hard. Even though you are chahita, you are lagna, and this and that, that's it. You are. So it's like people are shut off. It's very hard to change mentality. So it's very, very important. What the parents do will have long-lasting effect. What my grandfather did, we are still facing it. Had he done through Yaqub al-Islam equality, Musawa, we would not have this family feud. Unfortunately, today, like a few years back, my sister got married. Many of my uncle and aunts didn't come. We don't want to go to your, to their nieces. Why? Because it's the niece of the beloved son, and that whole thing goes on. Family feud continues. Family feud don't die out. Even if you try your best, some might turn, some might not. So the biggest lesson, ahem shay from this, equality with the children. Because you may not realize, but they grow up with this, and then they come back, it comes back to haunt them. And who suffers? The parents, they die, they leave the dunya, right? Who suffers? The brothers and sisters. So my father learned it very well. He didn't do the same thing with us. We are only four. Well, he did a little big lesson. His father had 12 kids, he had four. One third he went through. So, and then we see the hub and love amongst our generation, my brothers and sisters, and my father's brothers and sisters. We see a big difference. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us through Yaqub al-Islam and Yusuf al-Islam, don't incline towards one son and daughter. Even if you do it unintentionally. Sometimes people say, oh, I never meant it like that. I never wanted it like that. It happened. No, be very conscious. You bring something for one, you have a different attitude towards one, have the same thing with the other. Because these kids are very genius. I know they're sitting here, but they're very genius. They learn, they pick it up very fast. And sometimes, well, the good thing about American kids growing up in this country, they're very blunt, very frank, straightforward. They come on and say, Dad, you're not fair. We grew up in a different environment. We used to be like very khajil, you know, shy to say, I mean, would you ever think telling your father you're not fair? When you are like 7-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid, you give a big slap, you go land somewhere else. But here the tabi'ah is different, environment has changed. Here the kid will come out, Baba, you are not fair. And the mushadil. The Baba can't do anything because he knows 911. So we close today with the lesson that we see Yaqub al-Islam. Yes, this, we say that the prophets of Allah ma'asumeen, we don't say that this is a mistake, but we learned something from Yaqub al-Islam that he was inclined to Yusuf al-Islam. So his 11 brothers who were very jealous of him, they began to plot and plan. And that is the amazing thing in this Surah Yusuf. Right from the beginning of Surah Yusuf, the story starts off with about a negative thing, hasad, jealousy between brothers. So they began to yakidu like a kaid, even though his father told him, look, the father told Yusuf, don't tell your dream. They plot, but they still plotted. Imagine what would they have done if they knew about the dream. So they plotted, they planned against him, they tried to do, but Allah planned otherwise. That's why Allah says in the Quran, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعِشْ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That's why we say, our aqidah is so strong, if we have tawakkul Allah, let the people plot against us whatever they want. Because Allah is my plotter, my plan. So if Allah plans for me and they plan against me, welcome, the door is open. Because Allah's plan will supersede their plan. Allah had his own plan with Yusuf al-Islam, and his brothers had their own plan. Who got successful? Yusuf al-Islam. And Allah, of course. And the brothers, they learned a lesson, not at this time, but when they make sujood, they accepted. Aslama, taslim. They accepted their mistake. And we, inshallah, end with this today. Next Thursday, we'll see how they plan and what are the lessons in their plot. Why? Because Allah is teaching us a lesson. That when your brothers and sisters, your siblings, or your cousins, when they plot against you, you have to be sharper, you have to be zaki, you have to be smart. You have to sense early detection system and then counter, you know, plan in a way that is amicable. Because Yusuf al-Islam never took revenge from them. Yusuf al-Islam never took revenge from them. Neither when he was young, nor when he got the sultan, even then. La tasriba alaykum. There is no wrong, there is no harm on you. Go ahead, I forgive you. In other words, I know I'm jumping a little bit here and there, but the lesson here is, if my brothers and sisters go against me, my attitude should be as a Abdullah, as someone who is looking for Jannah, forgive them here in dunya, Allah will give me a better replacement in Jannah. If I seek revenge and go in this family feud, family fight, or qaid, or haqadah, I'm like, Allah's going to leave me alone. Allah's going to say, oh, you're taking your own revenge, so why should I worry about you? But if we say that, oh Allah, whatever my brother and sister plan or do against me, I leave it atruku, laka. Then Allah will not take revenge, but Allah is al-adil, al-just. He will seek justice for us.